But let's continue and reflect on the words of Jesus from John 16. I think as we look at the world and everything that's going on in it, we all share common experiences, right? We join together with people from all different walks of life. And we know the things that are always supposed to be the same for each person, right? We all know what family is supposed to look like. We all know what love needs to look like in family. We all desire as people to either support ourselves or support others. And we know what it means to be hungry and thirsty, whether you have more money than you know what to deal with or whether you have nothing. You know what it means to have hunger and thirst. But another great equalizer in this life is suffering, is trial and sorrow. And suffering can be those little things like a little paper cut on your finger, or it could even be the pain of cancer. Suffering could be the difficulties of life, not being able to pay the bills, or the difficulty of having too much money, where you run the risk of money becoming your God. But all people, all walks of life, know the challenges of trials. And then the next question that comes to my mind is how do we deal with these problems? And what do we go to? And we see so many in our world and in our lives that go to chemicals, right? You might have read in the news that our country has an epidemic with opioids. That people are escaping through narcotics and things like that. In Rice County alone, you hear of the huge problem we have with methamphetamine. If you go over to the prison, many of the people who are in prison are there due to drug offenses. And I would wager to say that those who are buying and using drugs are doing so to escape the reality of life, the challenges. The challenges of life, the desire to feel good, it leads people to these chemicals. And it's not just illegal drugs, is it? I mean, how many of us de-stress with alcohol or with smoking? And what about stress eating, right? Just cramming food in your face, you know, because it feels great, right? Makes you feel good. We all seek to escape this stress, these trials, these things that are just weighing on us, and so often we do it in unhealthy ways. So what's the problem with us? Why can't we face our problems like mature adults, right? What's the old phrase, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps? Why can't we do that? Why can't we just get over our problems and move on? And it's just because it's too much, isn't it? Even the most strong people you know, whether that's physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever, even those people we see break down because it is too much. And what's the problem here? Isn't God supposed to solve all these situations? What about when I pray to Him? I'm in dire need of some money to pay my bills, but He's not answering my prayers. The money's not coming. Did I do something wrong? Is this my punishment? And it's the age-old question of why do bad things happen to good people? Another way of looking at this is the problem of evil. The question is why would a good God create a world where evil is possible to exist? And one of the greatest challenges we have to that question is we don't really have an answer. Even when we look to the book of Job, where we see a very good man who suffers many things, what is the answer that God gives Job for all of this evil that Job experiences? He says, buddy, you don't know what I've got going on. Just trust me. But yet, you sit with somebody as they look at the burning rubble of their house, and you say, just trust God, right? You stand by somebody who has just lost their job, and you say, just trust God. How can somebody trust God when their world is falling apart around them? And then on the other side of the coin is that you are told that you do not deserve suffering, that you deserve to always feel good and be happy. This is the lie that I have been told my entire life. This isn't just something I pulled off the internet. This is from a website that's just full of quotes like this. That you deserve the best, that you are the most important person. I grew up in school being told that I am unique and that I am special and that I am great and that I always deserve to win. I was told in school that there's no such thing as a loser. I was lied to. Right? You've heard me say it for the past couple of weeks. I'm going to say it till the day I die. Failure is our greatest teacher. It's by being a loser that you know how to strive to be a winner. It's by losing all those games on the soccer field that you know what you need to change to fight to be a winner at the game. It's in life, striving and fighting in awful jobs, that you finally figure out what to do with your life. This is a lie. It's a lie, and it's not how life works. And especially as we reflect on Scripture, this is not what God has promised. What we read in Scripture is that we deserve what we have, that all have sinned and fall short. And it's not just my generation and your generation and maybe a couple generations more. It's all. Everyone has fallen short. And so it's a very arrogant thing to say that we think we deserve God's love, that we deserve for Him to do all these things. But the problem is that we deserve the damnation of sin. We deserve hell. I know I'm not really making you feel super great this morning, but the reality is that's what we deserve. But in doing our staff devotions earlier this week, we came across the difference between grace and mercy. And grace is a gift of something that we don't deserve, and mercy is not getting what we do deserve. And in the grace and mercy of God, we don't get what we deserve. In fact, we get something even greater. We get life. We get forgiveness. The grace and mercy of God is that Jesus has come for us, that He has gone to the cross for us, that He has suffered, that He has died, that He was buried, that He rose from the grave, that He ascended into heaven, that He still sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, blessing us, being our Lord. And the grace and mercy of God is that He will return and take us home. We don't deserve any of that. But our God, our Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit loves us so dearly that He blesses us with forgiveness and life. We don't deserve the goodness, but in His goodness, He makes us good. We deserve the punishment and suffering that we have, but in His goodness, He cares for us and loves us. And yet, that's what we need to reflect on today. Because Christ has died, He has risen from the grave, He is ascended into heaven, and all of those things, we know that joy, but why do we still suffer? And so Jesus gives us some insight in John 16, verse 33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And it is a reality that I think we're all pretty familiar with, is that we are currently in the world, which means that we still will suffer. In the words of Jesus, you will face tribulation in this world. Tribulation is that suffering and that difficulty that we know from a regular basis, right? It could be as something like struggling to pay the bills. It could be the difficulty of dealing with family. It could be your car breaking down. Tribulation also is as extreme as the death of a loved one. Tribulation is turning on the television and seeing a world at war with itself. The cynic in me, in my heart, even after reading this beautiful prayer this morning, says, yeah, we want to strive for peace and justice, but will we see it? Because when we look at our world, we see such awful tribulation. And I think we're all intimately aware of this. And so we go to Jesus to deal with this reality. John 16, 33 again. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. In Jesus there is peace. And one of my favorite verses from Scripture is Philippians 4, 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I love that phrase, the peace that surpasses all understanding. Right? This peace that we receive from God is transcendent. It is above and beyond anything that we know or understand. And you may know somebody like this who just feels at peace. Throughout all the trials and tribulation of life, they don't like it, they're not happy about it, but yet they still experience this great peace. And you wonder, how can you do this? How is this possible for you to just be calm at a time like this? And that is, again, that peace that they have received from God that is above and beyond what we can know and imagine. And that peace is there for all of us. And that peace comes with faith. Now, it's a tricky area, right, with faith, because there's two kinds of faith that we know. There's that saving faith that God has given us, that Christ has won for us and the Holy Spirit has brought to us that we may believe. But then there's the trust that we develop by being a child of God. At the beginning of your faith life, you may not really know how to trust God. You say, okay, I do know that he died for me, but you know, I still got to deal with all my stuff. And as you continue on in life and grow in the faith, you realize more and more that you are to rely more and more on God. This is something that I personally have been having to go through, that it's not all on my shoulders, that God is here to help me out. And so we take that second bit of trust and use it to go for peace. Because it is in trusting God more that we know peace. And in order to receive that, then the question is, well, what do I have to do to trust God more? And again, this is God in his grace. He goes to us again. And as Jesus tells us, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. He says that in verse 23 of our gospel lesson today. And so as you deal with the trials and tribulations, the sufferings, the difficulties of life, go to God in prayer and ask him for trust and peace. The reality is he may be putting you through a trial to grow you and to teach you and to help you learn more about him. And so we ask for trust and peace. And I don't know if you're much like me, but God has given me quite a thick head. So sometimes things aren't very obvious to me. And when I go to God in prayer, I say, God, I'm kind of dumb. I really need you to make this obvious for me, right? Every time I do that, I'm always reminded of the man who goes to Jesus and asks him to heal his child. And he says, Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. And this is the prayer that we are asking for. I believe, I trust in you, but help me. Help me when I don't believe. Help me when I don't trust. Help me when I don't have peace. And through all of these things, God will answer your prayers. Because he says he will in his word. And through this, we will know peace. Jesus said, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Take peace in that, that Christ has overcome the world for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.